Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's Upgrader Month right now. You can upgrade to a new or a previously owned vehicle. You'll be entered in to win the two VIP load sheets to a playoff game. First time in 11 years. All that at Lakewood Chev. And they got a barbecue special this Friday and Saturday. Paul, now, as a former player and a coach, how well did you know all the rules of basketball?
Well, I did know the NCAA rules really well, Jason. Okay. When the transition to FIBA took place in 2007, I struggled with that up until I was done coaching in 2012. FIBA changes the rules fairly frequently, but overall my knowledge of the rules was pretty good.
And I only ask that because I know there are some, like, there's certain rules that some coaches just don't know, and then they freak out in the course of the game, and everyone freaks out, and it turns out they're wrong, right? So that's why I always
Absolutely.
Ask that. Because a lot of players, we've had football guys on the show who are like, well, that's a rule. I didn't know that, right? So basketball is maybe a little bit easier because there's not as many overall, per se.
Exactly. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Especially because they don't seem to call travel by how it's worded. Right? Superstars seem to get a little extra travel time, if you know what I'm saying.
You can have some fancy footwork if you're a superstar, that's for sure. You can make the trip to the basket a little more interesting.
we'll get to the Raptors in a second, but we're down to the Sweet 16. You, like many, have lost Villanova in your bracket, but you know, Kansas is still alive and UNC in the Zags, so you still got three of your final four because you really went on a limb with all your four number one picks. But we have upsets that occur in the first few rounds, of course. Now you look ahead to this. Which game intrigues you the most tonight and tomorrow?
I think tonight the game that I'm most curious about is the Michigan-Oregon game. Because I think Michigan has been such a unique story with their near tragedy of taking off to go to the Big Ten tournament and how they've been able to channel that experience into this sense of purpose and almost destiny in the way that they've played so far. So going up against Oregon, who's missing one of their three Canadians and their shot blocker, which I think really helps Michigan a great deal because they've got a couple of their bigs that are very good players. So, you know, as a lower seed, Michigan against Oregon, I'm looking for a Big Ten win in that bracket. So I think, you know, of course, the odds makers are favoring Oregon, but I think Michigan will be the most interesting.
It is, you know, Michigan, that story is kind of crazy, and they've played really well. Oregon had that game, and it's funny, Paul, having played it and coached it, we've seen it lots, where a team, a high seed, just squeaks by, right? And then they have a week to prepare, and then they blow out the team the next time. Does that scare actually help teams in a lot of times? Does it improve their focus? They're like, okay, we got away with one? Because that sure seems to happen a lot in this tournament.
It does, and I think it does. It does battle harden you because Oregon really shouldn't be here. Rhode Island outplayed Oregon and did everything but win the basketball game. So the scare that you're describing, Jason, is exactly what happened to Oregon. And the other side of it is, has Michigan been playing over its head, running on emotion because of this experience? And will reality set in against a better Oregon team? Now, I think Michigan's very good. So the Big Ten was much criticized for having a very bad season this year. And here they are with three teams in the Sweet 16 and one of their teams, Wisconsin, beating the number one overall seed. So you're absolutely right. Things could change dramatically in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and teams can regather, refocus, and then we'll see who's better at this time of the year.
Paul Sir joins us. Discussing NCAA and NBA. Now, interesting, what did you make of the commissioner's news to tell teams, okay, enough with resting all your star players?
Well, it's like a slap on the wrist. I think it's too bad he doesn't have any authority to actually institute a policy, because I think it's absolute nonsense the way the NBA is going about this. And I know Popovich started this when Duncan was, in the latter stages of his career. and people said, oh my God, Popovich is such a genius. Now everybody else is doing it and they're going, what are they thinking? But if I'm taking my sons to watch the Spurs play the Cavs and the Stars are sitting out, I'm ticked because I've just dropped $300 to $500 to go to a basketball game. And these guys are sitting out because they're a little fatigued because it's a long season. I had a real hard time buying into that, Jason, at all. So I'm hoping the NBA will take a stronger stance. And here's my question. I don't understand. If your players are tired, why not play them 20 to 25 minutes in some games, particularly the ones where the outcome's already been determined, rather than having them take a complete game off? I don't understand that. They're in the entertainment business. They're handsomely paid.
Thank
People
you.
Make great sacrifices. They should play.
Yes. Now, you don't have to play him 44 minutes. You can play him 36 or 30. But, yeah, bang on. Because my argument was, hey, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic, these superstars are just as superstars of their era as the guys today. They found ways to win championships and play every night.
Play every night hurt. With inferior equipment, without anything even resembling the amount of resources these players have at their disposal in today's game. And so I agree with you. But there again, they were warriors, and they were just in a different era where competition and laying it all on the line was the be-all, end-all, because the money is nothing like it is today. They were playing because they played the game, and the motivations, I think, were very, very different. And the expectation was you played through injuries. Not that that was always smart, because it certainly wasn't, and it shortened someone like Larry Bird's career by probably 2 to 4 years. But get out there and play. If you're not hurt and you're just tired, come on.
And the other thing, they never had the amount of treatment and specialists to, if you did have a nagging injury, find ways to not have it nag nearly as much or nearly as long.
Absolutely. The training resources right now that players have is just remarkable, and good on them. Now get your butt on the court.
Paul, sir, one last one for you. The Toronto Raptors, we've seen them without Kyle Lowry. He might be back or not for the playoffs. Can they win a round without him in the playoffs?
I think they can. 4-5, they could probably win. 3-6, definitely. I know they have to really be focused, and I thought the game the other night was interesting because that certainly had a playoff feel to it with their big comeback against Chicago. But man, if they can move into the 3 slot, yeah, they should be able to win a series without Lowry and give him some time to get back. But the key is, of course, win the first series, but in the second series, hope that you're not playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, who you most likely would be if you're in the 4 slot. So I know that's their focus. Hopefully they're going to be able to pull that off. Tonight's game against Miami should be interesting because, man, Miami is such an enigma to start so poorly and really be one of the best teams in the NBA over the last 2 months. So the Raptors have their work cut out for them tonight in Miami.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. They're sitting now one game behind Washington. That's the team they got to try to catch. And, that's really where it is. Unless they really falter, I don't see Atlanta or the Bucks catching them. So it's either going to be 3-4 for them. Paul, what's coming up on the show on Saturday?
We have Alan Horton, the Minnesota Timberwolves color or radio announcer, their play-by-play guy. We had him on once before, and Alan's a great interview because, first of all, he'll talk about the Wolves, and the Wolves are one of the fun young teams to talk about with the Canadian Andrew Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns. But Alan's got such a wealth of knowledge about the NBA that we're really going to delve into, what the picture's looking like as we get into the last couple of weeks of the season. And then we're going to talk, of course, Jason, a ton about what's going on with the Elite Eight. So it'll be a fun show.
As always, Paul, we appreciate it. We'll be listening on Saturday. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Jason. Always great.